before, and I just felt like I'm starting over at the nursing home and different things, and I've been going over there for so long that I usually only have one sheeters over there in big print. But I had a front and back over there yesterday, and so I'll just go along on this until I get to the point where it's time to get this over with, and then we'll just miss. One of the things that you can't help but learn, and something that I knew before I was saved, but I didn't quite understand how it all transpired. Salvation has always been given by God's grace, appropriate for what we now face in the final days. I know preachers have been teaching for years that ever since the cross, that Jesus is coming soon. And that's what they were supposed to do. They couldn't know the exact time, but one of the things that's interesting, and I've taught this morning out of the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts and in other places, it refers to the end times, the last days. It has a lot of different expressions. That doesn't always mean the last few days, as we understand days. In some cases, it means the entire period from the time that Israel forsook Jesus until the time he comes back again. And I guess that's why God calls preachers to study to show themselves approved unto God, because it's very difficult to tell which one. And I try to be as honest as I can and just understand that this business about the last days, it's not always exactly like you think it is. But I think we are finally in what I would call, and you would call, the last days. Well, since the beginning, salvation has always been given by God's grace. In Genesis chapter 4, it starts off by telling you that, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. It's always been by God's grace. And certainly right now, in this time that we now live, it's appropriate for what we now face in the final days. We're going to have to rely on this, because it's going to happen whether we like it or not. And the time is not too far away. Don't draw back from walking by faith in the seed of God. Who was the seed of God? Who is the seed of God? Jesus Christ. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are told that he was the God-man in Scripture. We are also told that in the seed dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, grace has always been by calling upon God's seed, always. But as you walk by faith, you will suffer persecution. Now, as a young man, I didn't like that idea. I believed it because I believed what the Word of God said. But God knew I was sure hoping it would be after I had already gotten married and had my children and they all lived happily ever after. That's just normal when you're young. But there is no persecution that you cannot withstand if you understand that God loves you. And what else is he going to reward you for if you aren't willing to suffer for him? It isn't a promise that you will suffer, but it is a warning that some will, some more than others, some probably very little. But it is something you had better be prepared for, and especially now. But as you walk by faith, you will suffer persecution. I'm 84, and I can testify by the Word of God, by what it says, in print, inspired, that you're going to suffer some, and so am I. How much is something you better be prepared for? And only God can get you through the worst of it. Now, believers have been made aware to expect rejection. You haven't seen anything yet. If you lived in Europe and I spent part of my life over there, both on the continent and North Africa and the Middle East, and after the Iron Curtain broke, behind the Iron Curtain. So I have seen real persecution. I have observed it. I know that they're experiencing it over there. That is where he was rejected. And the first New Testament church was in Jerusalem. Then it spread north, the church, local churches, and spread up to Antioch and Damascus. Local churches that were still teaching the same thing that Jesus taught. And as they moved up into Europe, the church in Jerusalem died. Pretty soon, the church in Antioch died. Pretty soon, the seven churches that were formed in the book of Revelation, pretty soon they died. You say, well, why are you telling us this? That's the way it's always been. The church starts off in an area and it flourishes. It came to this land we call the USA, and it flourished in the Northeast. The first New Testament churches were in the Northeast of the United States. Then they spread west into the Middle East and south into the southern states. Then they began to die in the Northeast. You say, how do you know that? I've traveled all over there. I've presented lectures all over there. There aren't a lot of scriptural churches left in the Northeast. Well, what happened next? They began to die in the Middle East. So they spread out to California. Then, after World War II, they began to die off, and after spreading into the South, and most of the churches, Baptist churches that we have today in the South and in the North. I'm not saying the people in them aren't saved, but I'm saying they don't practice this, the things that were once delivered to the church. Most of the Baptist churches still believe in salvation by grace. But believe it or not, some do not believe in security of the believer. Michael was amazed when he went over there. I wasn't amazed because I traveled all over there during the lectures. I did more than 700 lectures across the surface of the present earth. And I discovered that some of the pastors over there, Missionary Baptist, weren't practicing the ordinances. And one of them even asked me to keep it to myself because he was a missionary. To my shame, I did. I didn't tell his sponsoring church. Nor am I going to tell you now. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can avoid this. You can avoid by not joining a church that's still teaching the truth. You can avoid a great deal of it. But you're going to get something a whole lot worse when the rapture occurs or before the seventh trumpet occurs. And you're going to have some problems that you wouldn't have had. You won't be suffering religious persecution. You'll be suffering persecution for not sticking true to the teachings of God. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now he wrote this church, the Holy Spirit did, the book of Hebrews, and he had gave them some advice that is just as valid today as it was then, perhaps even more valid, because you're seeing this happen right now. When the preachers that taught me when I was growing up what this meant, quite frankly, I thought they were exaggerating. But they weren't. They just literally interpreted the Word of God. Over the years, I've learned that many churches move the ancient landmarks that separated the first church from those who moved into error. Now I know those old preachers were right. They just stuck to the Word of God. I was raised in a landmarker church, and I didn't appreciate it at the time because I was more interested in girls, the world, and a little bit of everything else. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you wonder why I keep repeating this over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's because preachers have been doing this for a long time. And their job was not necessarily to enforce it by jail terms or discipline or anything else. It was their responsibility to practice discipline in love. But it was to warn people that when the falling away came from the faith, it would be evident. Well, when I was a boy, it wasn't evident. There were still a lot of churches that practiced the things that were once delivered to the saints in the book of Jude. And it only has one chapter in verse 3. Jude suddenly stopped in the midst of writing to churches about the salvation. And he said, I want to tell you about the faith, Tase Piston, a system of teaching and doctrine once delivered to the saints. And he warned them what was going to happen. But now it's crystal clear what Tase Piston, the faith, means. The prophesied great falling away by failing to assemble together as a local visible church has been occurring for some time, a long time. And the process will continue to accelerate. It's not going to get any better until seal 6 opens in Revelation. I expect a massive return in local churches during seal 6. God has tried compassion and love and teaching and forbearance for a long time. The effect has not stopped the great falling away. But I tell you what I expect to happen. You're fortunate to be here this morning because you're learning about it before it happens. And when it happens, you won't be nearly as frightened as if you had not been taught this. We are now in the midst of seal 6. Not seal 6, but seal 5. If you go back and read it, you'll discover it tells us that there's going to be great bloodshed, that there are saints in heaven around the throne of God beneath it, and they are crying out, how long, O Lord? The question being, before we get to go back to earth. And he shows compassion and he gives them a garment, a robe, which represents what they will wear in the tribulation period. They get it ahead of time, but they're still saved souls waiting for the time when they will come back with Jesus, along with all those who are already there, plus those who are going to go there during the time of what is known as the fifth seal. Here's where I expect the massive return to the faith once delivered to the saints. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. I wrote a book it was in 1974 I finished the thing. And the things I wrote in there have happened since that time. And this sixth seal is about to open. And I will at least tell you when I suspect, I don't know. I don't know, but I believe a general time frame when they will occur. We are in the fifth seal right now. I do not believe the sixth seal will open during the next administration, whoever wins it. Whatever group wins it. You say, I think it's going to be Hillary Clinton. I think it's going to be Donald Trump. I think it's going to be Mickey Mouse. I don't have the least idea. God didn't teach me how to interpret the scripture as far as who was going to win it. God taught me one thing, that God sets up rulers and God decides who he wants in office. And he did that with Nebuchadnezzar. And he did that with the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he came right out and said, that's what he does. But I will tell you this, regardless of whether the Democrats or the Republicans win it, that generation will not see the sixth seal open. I believe that. But during the administration that follows it, I'm giving you a little lead time, but I told you I could be wrong. The generation that follows it, the next group that comes to power after the one that comes to power at the next election, that is when the Revelation 6:12 will open. You say, well, your time setting. No, I can't tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year. And I'm not trying to frighten you. Believe it or not, I love you. And believe it or not, I'd much rather be able to tell you something you wanted to hear and something that would make you feel good about all this. I am telling you something that's going to make you feel good about all of it. When that sixth seal opens, down to verse 17, that is a preview of all the tribulation period. I guarantee you it is. And I couldn't, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Well, after the sixth seal, there's the seventh seal. Then there are seven trumpets that blow. I tell you without one moment's hesitation, the rapture is going to occur on the sounding of the seventh trumpet. I am absolutely positive. You say, when is that? I've told you it's going to be in the next administration that follows the one that's elected in office. November takes official office in September of 2017. Then the one that follows it, Israel is going to attack the Syrian Antichrist. I am one of those who has firmly taught without hesitation that the Antichrist will come out of the old Assyrian Empire. You say, are you certain? I'm absolutely positive. You say, well, that's not what Hal Lindsey said. That's not what this one said. You say, have you ever checked out what Hal Lindsey believes? Have you ever seen what he believes about doctrine, about baptism, about the church and the Lord's? Have you ever looked at it? Well, look at it. I have known for a long time that Hal Lindsey was quite correct in believing there was a rapture, but he was absolutely wrong at placing it at the first of the week, and so were all the other preachers that believe in the first of the week. You say, well, that's going to make you unpopular. Oh, how well I know that. But I would much rather be popular with God than to be popular with man and unpopular with God. So I've made my choice. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and tell you anything different from what I know to be the truth. I haven't given you a definite time, but I'm telling you, you better start doing something with your life. You better start serving God. You don't have much time. He said, and I began when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That's a gradual thing that's going to happen, but go ahead and read all the way down to verse 17. That's a preview of what's going to happen from then to the very end of the tribulation seal, which closes with the actual final seventh vial of wrath. Now, we're going out on the seventh trumpet, but there's going to be a lot of things you're going to have to go through. You say, well, why are you telling us that? Because I love you. Because I care for you. And because I've tried to do what God wanted without offending man, and certainly not without offending God. I'm trying to tell you that something is going to happen, and you don't have much time to start making God's local visible assembly called the New Testament Church a place where you come together and learn to worship God with spirit and truth. He told the woman at the well, he said, the time is coming and now is when man must worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, who is God? The Great Commission. Here's the Great Commission. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 21. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's who your Savior is. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. You said, I've heard this before. I hope you hear it now. Go ye therefore. Therefore is a conclusion. And teach all nations. That's the commission he gave to the first New Testament church. How many churches are now teaching what he taught the first New Testament church? Very, very few. That's why I'm a landmark missionary Baptist. We haven't carried tradition forward. We have carried the truth forward. Women don't have to wear little things on the top of their head. And they don't have to cover up their knees anymore with dresses. It's something that we've learned. But listen, the principles of New Testament teaching, they're still very, very valid. Now notice in Acts 2:19 through 21. And I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. The great and notable day of the Lord is a time in the last days, but the great and notable day is when He comes back. And when He comes back and catches out the saints, and all Hades breaks loose on this earth. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, it seems fair to me. He put it in here. You've still got time to call on the name of the Lord to save you. You've still got time to realize that all power in heaven and earth is given unto you. You've still got time to be scripturally baptized. You've still got time to do all things whatsoever He commanded you. Whatsoever I commanded, what He commanded. You're still time to join a church that's still practicing the two ordinances correctly. You still got time. You say, well, you shouldn't tell people that. They'll wait. How well I know that. How well I've observed that. So I'm just telling you the way it is, and you decide. I doubt if I finish this first page. You want to know why I believe that the rapture, the catching out of the saints, is going to occur on the seventh trumpet? And why I'm warning you? Revelation 11, verse 15. Okay, where are all the saved people on earth now? Well, saved people on earth are down here, aren't they? Well, where are all the saved people going to be when the seventh trumpet sounds? Are they still going to be down here? No. They're going to be up there. How much plainer could you get? And the seventh angel sounded. That's the seventh trumpet rapture. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That ought to be pretty plain. They're all taken up to heaven. At this time, all the saved go up. Not before. You say, well, what if somebody dies between now and then? Well, if they're saved, they go right on up and their soul is up there. But they don't have their glorified body yet. But God gives those people around the throne, by the time the actual fifth seal is going on, he lets them have it in advance, but they don't get to wear it until the actual seventh trumpet. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of his Lord and his Christ. Now notice. And he shall reign forever and ever. And so will all those that are taken up on the seventh trumpet. And the nations were angry. I guess they would be angry. All of a sudden there's a bunch of people that aren't here. And they're mad as a bunch of wet hens. They don't like it. It's a time of great chaos. I do know this next thing has to be true. Now think about it. You want to know when the rapture is going to occur? And the time of the dead. Isn't it plain and obvious and without question that you've got to resurrect a dead man before you'll judge him? The Bible clearly indicates that all the saved are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the seventh trumpet rapture. What's going to happen to all the saved? Well, they're all going to heaven on the seventh trumpet rapture. The family of God, they're all going. That they should be judged. You won't be judged for heaven or hell. You decide that for yourself while you're down here. But I will be judged for how well I pastored this church. And how will that be? By how much I submitted the will of God. For how much I let him teach me. And that's exactly what I'm teaching now. What he's taught me. Adam, hey, you're going to swallow a fly back there. That they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets. Thy servants, the prophets. What is the reward? It's the inheritance of the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? Jesus Christ. He's God's firstborn son. He's the only begotten son of God. He's called the God-man in Scripture. And Isaiah gives us all of his names. He calls him God Almighty. He calls him the Prince of Peace. He calls him the Counselor. He calls him the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He calls him the Everlasting God. And it's there in black and white in print. What are you going to believe? That's my Savior. That's who taught me this. People say, oh, Brother McNamara, you're so smart. No. I'm stupid. Because I finally learned, if God didn't teach me, I was never going to learn it correctly. I've been through all kinds of schools, theological, you name it. Institutions of higher learning, colleges, universities. God drew from those things to teach me in his word. God's book is inspired. He didn't make a single error in here. He said to try him, and I believed him. Therefore, I tried him. That's the first sheet. Let's see, I can't get this thing open. Mike, come up here and open this thing. Kenneth, come up here and open this thing for me. My hands are old, and I can't, these pages stick together. He said, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. I'm going to read the rest of it to you. Although most believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to the Hebrews, and some have offered what they considered to be proof of his authorship, this is not the purpose of this exposition. So I will leave the writer to antiquity. I know that God wrote it through whoever wrote the book of Hebrews. Some believed it was written to an assembly of Hebrews somewhere along the coast of northeastern Africa, probably Alexandria, and I adhere to this idea. I believe that. I know it was written to a group of Hebrews who had already undergone one period of persecution from their Jewish brethren in the flesh for accepting Christ as the promised Messiah. And they were experienced a second time of serious affliction when the epistle was written. I am persuaded they were a local, visible Hebrew church. If you will, an all Hebrew church. It is apparent that the church was undergoing persecution on a grand scale from within by their unbelieving brethren in the Hebrew community, and within by fellow Hebrew church members that were attempting to add certain elements of the law to Christ after salvation as being necessary to maintain it. You think the devil's going to roll over and play dead? Man alive, he's the most active spiritual being on this earth. Except God's spirit, of course. The Hebrew Community Society did not have assistance series by the government such as Social Security, Medicare, unemployment benefits, or welfare. When a Hebrew made a profession of faith in Christ as Messiah, in the vast majority of cases, he or she was quickly disowned by family and forfeited their inheritance or any type of family assistance, which was the way of Hebrew culture. That is, when you grow old and are disabled, your family took care of you. The keynote verses of the entire epistle are found in the 10th chapter, and gross misinterpretation is likely if the interpretation of the entire epistle is not based on what is revealed in Hebrews 10, 32 to 37. You are living in an era of time when God told us it was a better testimony. Because God revealed more to us than he did to the Old Testament saints. So here we are. The question is, if you're saved, are you going to take advantage of what's left? Are you going to try to make to come to church? I realize you've got jobs, you have to work. God's not a great monster up there sitting waiting to devour you. I don't expect you to come to church every time the doors are open. You've got commitments and things in life, and I don't tell you, give up your job and everything will be fine. It might get worse. But when God touches your heart, and you can be here. I have 2 minutes left. You be sure and tell Patrick. Kenneth, would you dismiss us?